Yeah, he said I had to come or he dropped my support, so I had to show up. Well, it is a privilege for me to be here. I appreciate it. I should have said, Minasan, ohayou gozaimasu. O genki desu ka? Minasan to issho ni deihai ga dekiru kara kokoro kara kansha shimasu. You can interpret that, yeah. We're glad to be here with you and appreciate the opportunity to be here. And we're thankful for your support and be able to fellowship with you and worship with you this morning. It's a great privilege. The church has supported us over the years, 76, I think, when the church took us on for support. So a long time ago that they did. And we're thankful for the faithful support over the years. Thankful for you folks praying for us, not just support, but prayers. Without your prayers, we wouldn't be able to accomplish a whole lot. So we thank you for your prayers. We have some new cards. They're like this. There's some down on the table here, and there's some in the back where they put the prayer cards back there. So pick one up. Pray for us. There's things on the back about our ministry and has our email address and things on there. But we want you to please feel free to take one and pray for us. We really need your support in prayers. Japan's a difficult country and a country that does not readily receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So pray for them. They need to accept Christ. There's 127 million people in Japan, which is a big, large amount of people. The land area size of Japan is only the size of smaller than the state of California. And so all the 127 million people are in that place. We're in Okinawa, which Pastor pointed out, we're down, which is south of Tokyo, about 1,000 miles. So we are on a separate island. Our island is an island that, of course, most people know about World War II. A lot of battles fought on that island. A lot of people died. Over 200,000 people died on that island during World War II. So there are a lot of people that died there. But the country, or the, it's called a prefecture of Okinawa. It's like one of the states of Okinawa. There's 47 prefectures in Japan, just like we'd have states. So we're down there in Okinawa. The island of Okinawa is a small island, 65 miles long, 12 miles wide in the widest point, down to 2 miles in the narrowest point. Probably about 500 square miles of property, not a lot. There's 1,400,000 Japanese on the island. Plus, there's also 17 American military installations on the island. So there's a lot of people. There's about 50,000 Americans, 30,000 active duty with their dependents, about 50,000 or more on the island also. There's churches that work with the military. We don't work with the military. We work with the national people and try to reach them. So pray that they would accept Christ. They only say half of a percent, not 1.5, but just a half a percent of people in Japan are Christian. That means that out of 200, only one person would believe that they're a Christian. So, and that a lot of it is just a belief. They really don't have that in their heart. So there's a lot of need there. We want you to pray that God would just open up the hearts of the Japanese and be able to do things there to reach them. Brought my wife with me, Terry. She's down here. She wouldn't let me come without her this time. So we have a lot of memories from here at Fairhaven, and we really appreciate everything that everybody's done for us over the years and just helped us many times. We had vehicles drive from here. We lived here for a year, one time on furlough. And, we just have a lot of memories. We're thankful for what God has done through the church and also ministries that branch out from the church. And the ministries, people have gone out of here and started churches and been missionaries, and it's exciting. So we want you to pray that God would just continue to use your church, our church, ministries around the world to reach the lost. Without Christ, there's a great need. And so continue to pray for them, if you would. Like I said, Japanese are mostly Buddhists and Shintoists. They believe in, they worship their ancestors, basically. A lot of Buddhist philosophies, but there's probably about, there's over, 200 different Buddhist sects. So there's a lot of different ways that people believe. They don't believe in reincarnation in Japan, but there's other countries that do through Buddhism. But they do believe that their ancestors are, once they've died, the spirit's floating around for about 49 years. There's no resting place. There's no place for them. And so they pray to the altar. They have an altar. It's called the Butsudan. And their God altar and God shelf that they pray to all the time. And during that time, they believe that their spirits, they're feeding them. They have incense burning, and they have different things, food, drink, that's supposed to, please the spirits. 49 years, no resting place. So It's kind of a no-hope kind of a life. They don't know exactly after that 49 years whether they're going to end up any place or not either, a good place. So they just keep paying the priests and Buddhist priests and different things to help them in their along their way. But just continue to pray, if you would, for Japan and the need there. Japanese language is one of the more difficult languages. I've made so many mistakes in Japanese. I could probably write a book on it. But one of the mistakes I was making, I was just learning how to speak. And I was getting frustrated because after 3 months, you know, you think you can be able to speak something. And I was like really frustrated. Well, they started hitting me with the ways that you count things. So they have counters for everything. Like if you're counting pencils or you're counting neckties or you're counting piece of paper or people, they have different ways to say it all. It's not just like 1, 2, 3, you know, that way. And so there's all kinds of different counters. So I was learning all these counters, and finally I got to, I thought, you know, I was doing pretty good. I was learning the counters for people. And that, they say, shori, futari, sannin, like that, which is 1, 2, 3 people. And then it keeps going on. But, I learned how to say that I had 3 children, you know, sannin is the way you're supposed to say that. And so the church we were working at that time with another missionary, one of the ladies in the church came up and she said, hey, you're learning Japanese. She said, how many, she's talking to me in Japanese. I can't understand much of what she's saying, but she said, how many children do you have? I said, well, we have, sanzen-nin. And that means I had 3,000 instead of 3. It's like, oh, I see, 3,000, huh? Well, my name's not Solomon, but, so, you know, you learn to laugh at yourself a lot in Japanese. And, when I was in language school too, one of my teachers was really, really strict on us. I mean, the guy, he'd never accept anything you were saying. So you just had to repeat it 20 times. You know, you're like, I know I'm saying that right. And he's like, no, you're not. You know, you say it again, you know. So one time I said to the teacher, I called him Anata, which means you. And, well, if you say it a certain way in Japanese, it means something else. So he looks at me, he said, I'm not your honey. I said, I didn't say that. I thought I said you. He said, no, you called me your honey, you know. It's like, oh well, same word, just a little bit of different accent on the word, emphasis. But one of those things that you know, you just put up with in a foreign country, and you don't understand a lot of it. But at first, you just accept it and you go on your way. But we've learned, of course, to love Japan, the Japanese people. They need to be reached with the gospel, and we did start in a city called Sagamihara, started a Faith Baptist Church there, and then went to Okinawa in '81. I started Megumi Baptist Church there in Okinawa, and that church is doing well. Pastor Vigino, I think, came back here with me one time. Did he? I think he showed up here. And Pastor Vigino is still pastoring there. He's getting, of course, up in eight. He's about 2 years older than I am, but he's still pastoring. He's looking to get somebody to take over his ministry. They're able to. We bought a building back in 1986, I think. Some property. It cost us about $330,000. And so he was in that property for a long time. We added a lot of stuff on it. Our total land property size. Now, you guys, it's really small. It's hard to believe how small it really was. But 1,800 square feet. That's all the property, the land we had. And we had a 3-story, 4-story building on this thing. And we had parking for 3 cars. That was it. So we parked every place that we could. And one of the city came in, they said they were going to tear it all out because we were on a dead-end street, and they couldn't get in there with the police or ambulances or fire engines or anything, because the streets get, as you came into our place, it was wide enough to get in there with one car, but then it got narrow and narrow and narrow, and so there was like blocks, a couple of blocks in there that you couldn't even, you had to ride a bicycle or walk in, because and people lived back in there. So they bought our property and redid the whole thing. And we paid $330,000 for it. The city gave us over $1 million for the property. And then they were able to buy another piece of property and he built a 3-story building there. So, and Pastor Vigino runs about 120 people in his church. So people are getting saved and baptized regularly there. And we're thankful for that. He's doing a good job. Then we started another area, and we call that Faith Baptist or Shinko Baptist Kyokai. And that's where we're at right now. Presently, our building, we built in 2009, and the Lord's used that to reach many people. We're thankful for that. We're planning on turning it over to a Japanese pastor in 2021. So Yoshida is his name. Please remember his name. It's hard maybe for you. I think I have his name. I don't know if I have his name on the back of my card or not. I can't remember. But it's not Honda or Suzuki or Yamaha or something. You know, you could remember all that. But Yoshida is his name. So please remember Pastor Yoshida. And they have three young children right now. And the Lord's been using them greatly. He's got a great compassion to reach the lost. And we're thankful for him. So we're just looking forward to the day, you know, when he can take over. And then we're not sure what we're going to do after that. People ask me if I'm retiring. I'm not planning on retiring. But, you know, the Lord has plans for you. So we just keep on going on. And our son Dan started a new work in November of last year. November 11th was his first service. And up in Nago City. And so he's doing well. Pray for them, if you would. You know, it's tough, as I said, to get started in the Japanese culture and with the people and everything. They don't really want to believe what you believe. So they're satisfied with what they have, and they think that that's all they need. They don't need anything else. So the Holy Spirit is the only way that can convict them. So pray that God would just use the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's power to reach these people with the gospel and just be able to, you know, reach the needed people that we have. We're praying that God will just open up the windows of heaven, and we're praying that God will just send a revival to the Christians that are there already, and pray for new Christians that they would continue on. But one of the things I really want you to pray for is like second generation and third generation Christians is what we need, because it's tough to once they might be a faithful family in the church, but then the kids grow up in the Japanese system. It almost forces them out of the church because the schools are so strong about them attending on Sundays all the time and being in clubs on Sundays. And so when they get into junior high, senior high, we start losing them. And it's very tough to keep them there, keep them going. So pray that God would just work in the hearts and the lives of those people, that God would just send a revival through the Christians that are there. They might be reached with the gospel. And so we're thankful for, as I said, your prayers. Continue to pray for the ministries there, that God would just open up more avenues, more doors. We do a lot of things to reach people. So there's probably more things we need to do. You know, we have barbecues and picnics and camps and kids meetings. And we pass out a lot of tracts. We pass out about 100,000 tracts a year, every year. So we try to get out a lot of gospel to people and get it to their heart, get into their heart, the Word of God, because that's what convicts them, not us, but the Word of God. So we're thankful for what God has done, and continue to pray, if you would, that they would just be reached. We need more missionaries, so if anybody's willing to volunteer, I'll put you up. You can come on over to be a missionary. We need some new ones. We've had four new families come in the last, in our mission, in the last four or five years, so we're thankful for that. Just two of them just arrived just recently, one in February and one last August. So we're thankful for them, and we're looking forward to what God can do through those families in the ministries there. I pray. We have a Bible college up in Kobe, Japan, which is about 350, 400 miles from us north. And so I fly up there every month. I'm on the board, and I preach in chapel, and I do different. Have a board meeting, preach in chapel, and do a bunch of repair work, whatever they need. I'm always working on something they're trying to fix. So pray that would all continue to go smoothly, and the Lord would just work there. But we are really excited about being here. We're thankful for what God has done here, the ministry here, and we're excited. You know, we've got to put up with Pastor Dameron, you know, it's just, it's tough, you know, I can see that, but I'm really grateful for him, I really am, and his wife and his family, they've been good friends. He came over there and preached for us at camp one time, and we had a great time at camp, and we actually have lost the camp property, but through that, we've bought another piece of property to start Dan Junior's ministry. So we're thankful that God just continues to work in different ways. We don't understand it a lot of times, but different ways that he can get the gospel out and do things for the Lord. So take your Bible, if you would, just briefly, in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'll tell you a few more things about Japan this morning when I preach, but just pray for the need there. It's just a great need. People they look happy on the outside, but inside they don't have any hope. And there's no joy. There's no real peace. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sick and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And, you know, we need to pray. The harvest truly is plenteous all over the world. And we don't know how much longer we have to work in the fields. We don't know how much longer we have to get the gospel out. So we need to work day and night to get the gospel message out to reach people. But it says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I know you have a lot of laborers around here that go out, but maybe there's some that aren't laboring very well. We need to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be busy serving God. You know, if missions dies, which missions in this church, knocking doors and witnessing the bus ministry, that's missions. That's reaching people. If it dies in the local church, it's going to die in the mission field because they won't be able to support missionaries that go to the mission field to represent you there. So we need to pray for the laborers and pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. We need some laborers in the harvest. Let's walk forward to prayer real quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the time that we can spend together. And Lord, I pray that you just challenge us to be all that we should be for you. Thank you for dying for us on the cross of Calvary, that we can have eternal life, buried and risen again the third day, because we serve a risen Savior. We're thankful for that. There's no other way that we could have life eternal without a risen Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us as you sit at the right hand of God and make intercession for us. I pray that you just help us continue to serve you the way we should. We thank you for all you've done. I pray that you'd help me to say what you'd have me to say this morning. Give us wisdom and guidance in all things. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. I'd like to point the fact here that Jesus said here in verse 36 that he was moved with compassion on them. You know, the message here is of Christ, from Christ to his disciples, basically at that point, was to be obedient to him, be obedient to the call, to the witness, to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel message there. And Jesus traveling about, it says, preaching the gospel there. And he went every place. He was healing people. We're to become like Christ. We're to proclaim the message of what Christ has done for us. He sacrificed his life on the cross of Calvary. He gave us all his all that we might have life. And, you know, a lot of people talk about sacrifice. A lot of people talk about going. A lot of people talk about doing things for God. But, you know, it's just talk. We need to get involved. And Christ was involved, right? He didn't just talk about dying on the cross. He did die on the cross. He didn't just talk about being raised from the dead. He did arise from the grave. And he lives today for us. And one day, and he talked about coming to get us. One day he's going to come back and we'll be up with him in heaven for eternity. You have an eternal home. That's going to be great. You might not have a nice home here. I was just in a missions conference and out in Washington, D.C. area. Those people out there have a lot of money. I tried to get some, but they wouldn't give me any. they live in really fancy houses. The man we stayed with, he just moved out of a house that was too big for him and moved into a smaller house. And, I'm like, this is not very small. 5,600 square feet. That's not very small to me. You know, I was like, you know, I could get lost in the bathroom in his place. You know, it was just a big house, you know, but sometimes we might not have that here on this earth. You might not have a nice place. You might rent a place. You might live in an apartment. But, you know, one of these days God's going to give us a mansion in heaven. He's prepared it for us. And it's going to be nice, right? You guys have work parties going on all the time around here. I know that from day one. I've known, you know, since 1976. You're always doing some building, someplace. And, you know, it keeps on going, right? And God, the Lord's building us a mansion in heaven. What's it going to be like? It's going to outdo anything that we've ever seen or with our eyes. So it's going to be a great place the Lord's preparing for us. But we need to be busy, right? The sacrifices of Christ for us. It says in verse 36, as I said, he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. We need to be moved with compassion, don't we? About these people who are wandering about without a shepherd. And, you know, the reason that we see what Jesus said in here, he said all these things in verse 25, and when he was going about all the cities and villages, what he had done prior to that, of course, earlier in chapter 9, there he healed a palsy man. The call of Matthew there, he was talking to the Pharisees, rebuking them all the time because they said there, Jesus said to them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that be sick. That's where we're going to, the sick, the people that are sin sick, the ones that need to be healed, right? And the ones that are willing to accept, we need to get the gospel message to them and get out there and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be busy about the work. And you might not be able to do a whole lot, but you can do something for the Lord. You can be busy serving God and being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the ladies that came to our church, she lived up north, and she started coming because at one time there was a missionary up there working, but you know, he had different ideas about things. So she had they didn't have much any place to go to church, and so she drove down to our place about an hour and a half drive. And Bioko was her name, and she drove down an hour and a half to our place. This lady stayed, you know, for church and drove all the way back. She had a daughter that was handicapped that she had to help get in the car because she couldn't walk very well. Then she had diabetes. I mean, the mother, her kidneys were failing, so she had to have dialysis 3 times a week. She worked a full-time job to support her family because her husband ran off on her. And she still drove down to church every week, and she was a great witness. So we started a meeting up there at her place and started trying to get people to come in. She wanted to see her mom and dad saved, so she kept praying that her mom and dad would come. Her dad was like the known in that city that we were at as the drunk of the town. Everybody knew him. And, you know, he's just loud and boisterous and just annoying. And so they started coming to our meeting. And first of all, the mom got saved. The interesting thing about this man is that he, during World War II, he wanted to join the military to fight against Americans. So he went to join, but he was too short. Can you believe that? He was too short. He's really a small guy. And so what they did was they sent him up to mainland Japan into one of the factories. And guess where he went? Hiroshima. He went to Hiroshima. And he was working in a factory there just outside of the city limits. And when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, he was there. The next day, after they knew something terrible had happened, they didn't know what. They went, him and his friends went into Hiroshima, the epic center there that happened. And a lot of them were, of course, they were all exposed to the bomb there, the radiation fallout and everything. And so they went back home. He came back to Okinawa. And most all of his friends died. He didn't. Now, this is, 50 years later, we come in contact with him. And he still doesn't know the Lord, but God led us to his daughter. His wife got saved. Now, he's coming to church, and then he got saved. He got saved before he died. And I'm thankful for that. In fact, several years before he died, he accepted Christ as his Savior, so... That he could have died in World War II there easily, being in Hiroshima, exposed to everything that went on. A lot of people died there. But, you know, God gave him a chance to accept Christ, and he did. And so instead of being the drunk of the town, now he's a saved a child of God. We need to have compassion on people like that. We need to be able to reach them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was talking about all the things that had gone on in chapter 9. There about, you know, the woman that was healed and the daughter of the ruler that was raised and demons being cast out. And he's talking about all that. And in the verse 35, when he said there in teaching in synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sick and every disease among the people, what he's talking about is not when he has compassion. He wasn't talking about the compassion on the sick and the diseased. He's not talking about that. But he's talking about the people that are lost without Christ. That is what he's mentioning there. And so I think that we can have compassion. There's a lot of reasons that we need to go, but we should have compassion when we see here the compassion that Jesus has. The compassion that Jesus has should give us compassion, shouldn't it? We see what Jesus did. He didn't have to have compassion on, but he did. And there's many other passages in the Bible where he said he had compassion on the people. In Luke chapter 19, he said he wept over the people. He wept. He had compassion. He had tears. And then in 13:34, he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, And so he had compassion, right, to reach the people, and that's what we need to have. We need to have some kind of compassion in our hearts, some kind of desire to see people saved, and people maybe we've been praying for years and years. Got short-winded here. He's telling me to quit. No. We need to have compassion, don't we? Just like Jesus had compassion. And the compassion that we can see here, you know, man's hopeless, he's helpless, he's lost without Christ. He has no value for eternity. He doesn't know what to do in his life. And these people we need to reach with the gospel. You know, we see, you turn on the news or you listen to people and there's sin and there's corruption and there's things on every hand. And, you know, it seems like it's hopeless for us too. But, you know, it's not hopeless for us. It's hopeless for those that are without Christ. And we need to reach them because we see the compassion that Jesus had as he kept on going from place to place and city to city and town to town and reaching the people and having a great burden to get the gospel out. And we need to have compassion to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no hope without Christ. There's a lot of people in Japan who commit suicide. Last year, about 30,000 people in Japan committed suicide. Now, one of the highest rates per capita of any nation in the world. I mean, I'm not talking about people that are, you know, getting old. I'm talking about kids in grade school, jumping off buildings or, you know, cutting their throat or, what, you know, just dying because they have no hope. And we need to reach those people with the gospel. We need to get out there with a message that Jesus Christ saves. And he does save, right? You know, if he doesn't, then we're in the wrong business. We might as well go home. But he does save, and we need to realize that Jesus Christ is the answer to all these things. I was in a, and I can't remember if I took Pastor Dameron up there or not, but a place in Okinawa called Shuri Castle. And up on this castle, it's pretty famous in Japan. It got, basically, during the war, got quite a bit of bombing and destroyed a lot of it, but they rebuilt it all. And I took a group up there once that came in and was helping me with a project. And so we went up there. Actually, we went to another place. I was going to go to another place first. And we got to this other place, and the place was closed. I wasn't even planning on going to Shuri Castle. But the other place was closed, and we couldn't get in. So I was thinking where to go. And the Lord just put on my heart, go to Shuri Castle. We went to Shuri Castle, and I let them then look around the castle and go in different spots and everything. I've been there so many times, I decided, you know, I'd just go to the courtyard. And, you know, if anybody was there, I could give them a track or witness to them. And so I went to the courtyard that was up on top up there. And I saw a man in there, and a Japanese man. I started talking to him, and he told me that he was actually was in the Air Force, Japanese Air Force, retired. He was the same age as me. He was born in the same month as me, in the same year. And we were talking, and I said, so, you know, I gave him a tract and started witnessing to him. He said, you know, I came up here today to commit suicide. This guy was a major in the Air Force in Japan. He had all the money he wanted, he had all the prestige he wanted, but he's ready to jump off and commit suicide. He said, that's what I came up here for today. And I witnessed to him, and I told him that he needed to get saved. And at that time, he didn't get saved, but I pray that he did. I left stuff with him, and I've never seen him again. But, you know, I pray that, you know, we can have compassion on people like that. People need the gospel. They need to hear the message. We have the message. We have the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Same thing in Japanese, a little longer, but same thing. Same message. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And Jesus is the truth, way, the truth, and the life. And that message we have. That message we can get out. And so Jesus was there. You know, it wasn't just a temporary compassion. A lot of times we just, if somebody gets hurt, you know, we have compassion for them, right? One of your kids fall down, or somebody that you know has an accident, and you might go to the hospital, and you might see them, and they might be cut up, and you have at that point, you have kind of a temporary compassion for them. You feel bad, right? You feel bad that they're cut, but that all goes away eventually. And after a while, you probably forget about it. After they're healed and back on their feet and everything's gone, you just forget about it. But this kind of compassion, he's not talking about just dying and going away. This kind of compassion is a continued compassion forever. Until we die, we should have a compassion to reach the lost, right? We should pray, God, give me a compassion today to reach the lost. Help me to be able to see somebody saved. Help me to be able to be a witness for you. Whatever it is, the compassion that Jesus had was that compassion that never died. And it's not just a temporary thing that's going to go away. And feel sorry for somebody. It's a compassion that we need to realize that without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell. They're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Some of the people that have been saved in our church, and they've come up to me and they said, "What about my mom and my dad and my grandparents? They never got to hear the message. Where are they today?" And I'd have to say to them, I'm sad to say, but they're probably spending eternity in hell. I wouldn't want that. And I didn't desire that. But that's all in God's hand. And we have to leave that with God. But we have to, right now, what our responsibility is to do, to tell the people that are still alive about that message. The people that we run into day in and day out, our relatives, our friends, or people that we know that are without Christ, those are the people we need to reach. And Jesus had a compassion, didn't he? We need to realize that we see the Savior as he was weeping over these people, weeping to get the gospel message out. And the sinners, as they wander around from place to place, there is a way of sowing and reaping. And we need to sow. Well, you might not reap a lot. We don't see a lot of reaping in Japan, but we do a lot of sowing. And we got to keep on reaping. I've gotten discouraged over the years. I've felt like quitting and throwing in the towel many times. Many times. Most of the time when I felt that way, I didn't have enough money to buy a plane ticket to come back to America, so I had to stay. But you just feel that way sometimes. You feel wore out. You feel tired. You feel like nobody's getting saved. Just things aren't going right. And, you're discouraged and down. And missionaries that call me all the time because I'm the guy I guess they look up to. I don't know. But they call me all the time, discouraged and down. And I've been here 25 years and my church only runs 6. That's discouraging. It's not fun. But I try to encourage them and tell them to keep on going on. God's going to bless you. God's going to... That guy that I'm telling you right now, he just turned his church over to a Japanese man and he's just started another work. But for years he was telling me, he was always calling me. And we still talk together a lot. He's a missionary in Japan. A lot of guys quit. In Japan, a lot of them, they don't make it. It's called the graveyard of missions. As far as missionaries leaving Japan. Since I've been in Japan over 42 years, we've had, with our mission alone, we've had 40 missionaries leave. 40 missionary couples leave. That's a lot. That's the average of one a year. And, some of it has been legitimate. Some of it wasn't discouragement. A lot of it was. Some of it might have been sickness. Some of it might have been, they were going to retire. They were old enough to retire or whatever. But a lot of them went to other ministries and did other things. We have 6 missionaries that were working with Japanese that then went from working with Japanese people to military people because it was easier to work with them. It was to them. And so they changed from Japanese ministries to military ministries. But we need to have a compassion for the lost only. And try to have that compassion. When we flew into Japan the first time, Terry and I, we had 3 kids. And one was our oldest, Charlotte. She was 6 years old, 6 and a half. Then our son Dan was 2 and a half years old, and we had our son Josh was 5 weeks old when we left Minneapolis, flew to Japan, and it's a longer story. I can tell you, I don't have time, but God got us to Japan when we flew in there at night, and you could see the lights of millions and millions of people's homes. It just brought a compassion to reach them. And I'm praying that God will never let that compassion die in myself, because if it does, then I'm going to leave the field too. And I don't want that to happen, even though there's not, not a lot of results. But God can use us if we're willing to say, "Lord, let me have compassion." Moved, he said, he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. So are you going to be moved with compassion or not? If you're moved, that means that you got to get up out of the pew, right? You got to get up out of the pew. You got to go someplace to do something. You got to go someplace to be a witness. You got to work a bus route. You got to work a Sunday school class, route. Or you got to do something. And you got to get the gospel out. And so we need to be busy serving God because we have a compassion to reach the lost. And I hope that you have a compassion. I know you do. I know this church has a great compassion. But, you know, we can always do more. We can always have a greater desire to see people. We can always do more for God. And we can always get out and be busier for God and tell people about Christ. And so we need to be a witness for Him and tell others about Him. And I pray that you know, we just realize that God is the one that can help us. And He's there with us all the time, day in and day out. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. That was a prayer from Jesus. Prayer of Jesus. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Let's bow for